Jeannie Flavelle's Hot Commodity Podcast Series, empowering clients with commercial intelligence, supply chain expertise, and risk management solutions. Welcome, everybody, to McKinney Flavelle's podcast series. I'm Mike Coughlin, President and CEO of McKinney Flavelle, and I'm joined today here by Nicole Thomas, Vice President of McKinney Flavelle. Hello, Nicole.
Hey, Michael. Good to be in sunny, well, not so sunny Oakland today.
Yeah, it's good to have you here. today, we're going to talk about the Sweet Beat WASD recap from the WASD results yesterday. And so we're going to talk a little bit about what changes the USDA made on the corn side. Then we'll shift over to the sugar side and talk a little bit about some of the stuff that they did there. But let's start with corn. We saw, this is a pretty big corn crop. They're just continuing to make it bigger and bigger. What changes did they make on this latest WASD?
Well, you know, that's pretty interesting, really. I would say in this WASD, probably the biggest surprise was within corn. Here, we at McKinney Flavelle, as well as most other analysts out there, were anticipating falling corn yields. And we got a September surprise in the form of a yield revision higher. Now, the move up wasn't big. In fact, it was less than a bushel per acre increase. And under normal circumstances, no one would have batted an eye at that change. But because it was completely counter to the market's expectations, that minor change was enough to send corn futures tumbling by about 6 to 8 cents per pound, or per bushel, the day of that report. Now, also worth noting is, in spite of that surprise and the subsequent drop in futures values, we did not break short-term resistance. For December 2017 corn futures, that is at about $3.45 per bushel. For March 2018 corn futures, that's a little above $3.55 per bushel. So what that says to me is the market has absorbed as much bearish information as it wants to at this moment. And when we look at long and short positions in futures, the non-commercials are actually net short about 14,000 contracts as of September 5th anyway. And they increased that short side by about 26,000 contracts from the week prior. So as we like to tell people, don't chase the bottom. If you missed out on that last drop at the end of August, now's a great time to take some extended coverage on futures. And remember, the reasonable objective when considering futures coverage is to be in that bottom third of where that market will trade. And if we look at the lifetime contract values for instance, March 2018 futures, they traded in a range of about 350-ish on the low end and about 420-ish on the high end. So we're definitely in that bottom third today.
Okay, great. So the big question that people are probably thinking about to ask us is, we're in the middle of corn negotiations for next year for high fructose corn syrup and just regular corn syrup. What impact does this report have on those negotiations?
You know, really, I think it has little to no impact on things because really when you look at what's driving sweetener prices on the corn side, it's really not about the feedstock itself, more about what's going on with capacity. Mm-hmm. And so really depending on what your situation is, that could vary considerably. Yeah. I'll say today those negotiations are ongoing. And then obviously if you have questions about your specific situation, sure, just reach out to us at McKinney Flavelle and we can
idea.
Talk through it.
What a great idea. Reach out to us. Let's shift over to sugar. What changes? Obviously, you know, we talked last week on our podcast about Hurricane Irma coming in, effects of Harvey. What changes on the WASD report did they make on sugar?
Well, you're absolutely right, Mike. Obviously, the most pressing situation out there as far as potential impact on sugar right now has been two back-to-back almost sizable hurricanes. Mm. And, you know, from a sugar standpoint, obviously it's major to us, but not to undervalue the significance in terms of the impact it's having on people's lives. So certainly yeah. for those who have had to deal with this in Florida, Texas, Louisiana, Georgia, all those places, just to let you know, you are in our hearts and minds and prayers, and we're thinking about you as well. But as far as the sugar market is concerned, we didn't see any changes in the WASDE just yet to reflect the impact of those hurricanes, and most notably that of Irma. Now, no surprise in that many in Florida and all through the Gulf Coast are still digging out. So I don't think we'll see a change in that cane projection, obviously, until next month's report, something for us to keep in mind down the road. Now, one good thing is it appears in terms of refining capacity, excluding some of those short-term closures due to mandatory evacuations and some massive power outages, all the cane refining capacity is still intact. And it will take time to get those plants back running to 100%, and it will take some time to get ports back up and going as it relates to cane sugar imports. But considering how major both of these hurricanes were, this definitely fell closer to the best case scenario than to the worst. Now, what remains to be seen is the cane sugar production situation in Florida. Now, USDA had been projecting an increase in production from 2017 to 18, and harvest should have just been starting right around now. So this will certainly slow that progress. But from what we've heard so far, it sounds like we could see something in a range of a 5 to 10% loss in production in Florida as a result of this hurricane. And in addition, there's been a nice rally on the number 16 with the nearby trading above $27 a hundredweight now. So that covers the hurricane. In other news, the other noteworthy change on the sugar balance sheet was a 100,000 short ton raw value increase to sugar demand for the soon to be 17-18 fiscal year, which would be about another 2.5% increase over last year. But they also offset that to a degree with a reduction in delivery expectations for 16-17. So
yeah, back and forth. That's a certain, the demand number is certainly something we've talked about for several months about the increase from year on year being a little bit higher than what we would probably expect because of what we've seen with food manufacturers formulating out sugar. And the counter argument to that is how many are shifting from high fructose to sugar to add to that number. Still something we're going to watch very closely. And it sounds like the USDA has been making some decent adjustments along the way. So we'll exactly. See how that goes. But I guess the question on sugar again is, commercially, how has the increase in the 16 or the impact of the hurricanes affected what commercially is happening in the marketplace for next year?
Sure. Well, I mean, looking at it from a two-tier market scenario, which, you know, pretty much exists these days in the world of sugar, on the beet side, very little impact at all. We have seen prices strengthen a bit in the last few months as a result of some finalization on the suspension agreements. So obviously stronger prices than a year ago. I'd put it probably somewhere in the range between maybe 32 to 34 cents a pound FOB for the beet side. On the cane side, really it's been the rally in the number 16. Mm-hmm. Now that had come down quite a bit over the last few months with the increase to the TRQ and less concern about issues with raw sugar imports. But now post the hurricane and the possibility of some lost cane within Florida, that's adding a little support to the market. So in that case, I think we've got a little broader and a higher range these days of somewhere between 34 to maybe 37 cents a pound,
right.
Obviously, depending on, you know, geographically where you're sourcing that cane sugar. So there's certainly been at least a bit of an impact, but obviously not, you know, that all out chaos that we saw, you know, with Katrina many years ago. We don't have that type of fear in front of us. So that's
absolutely
a good thing.
Certainly from a commercial standpoint, things have slowed down.
Yep.
Beet industry did a great job of forward covering their clients into 18. We've seen a little quiet side on that, a little bit of activity on the cane side.
Definitely.
Prior to the hurricane, but
right.
Exactly. Overall, relatively quiet.
Pretty quiet. Excellent. These days.
Well, Nicole, it's been great to have you here.
It's great
to see your face.
I miss it.
Yeah, those that don't know, she's located just outside of Atlanta. So she's here this week visiting, and we're happy to have her. It's good to see you, and we'll look forward to keeping people up to date on our next podcast. But again, just a final note, if you can help these people down in Texas or Florida, please do.
Definitely do.
It takes... everyone in time of need. Yes. And that's what creates America so great. So if you can help others out there,
community building, let's make it happen.
All right.
Thanks, Michael.
Take care.
That concludes this podcast episode. For more information, visit McKinney-Flavelle.com. Also visit us on LinkedIn for the latest industry news, updates, and intelligence.